My name is John Walden. Welcome to our Bible study, the third epistle of John. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about this now. The first epistle gives us the wonderful doctrines, and these are demonstrated objectively in the second and third letters of John. We saw that the second epistle was written to the elect lady, whose identity we do not know. The third epistle is written, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. We don't know who Gaius was either. This is not the same Gaius as mentioned in Romans 16, who was the host of the Apostle Paul, because this was many, many years later. And Gaius was an old man when Paul knew him. Whoever this Gaius was, he's a wonderful example of what the Lord wants Christians to be. Now, if the truths that are taught in the first epistle of John are lived out in your life, you will be like Gaius. First of all, Gaius is called the well-beloved. He is a loving personality. He is a person who is well-loved because of all that he has done for others. And John says, I love him in the truth. That is, I love him as one who follows the truth. Not simply that I love him truly, but I love him in the truth. I love him as a fellow Christian, as a fellow believer. What else do we know about him? Well, he said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. He was prospering spiritually. It didn't say anything about his making $1 million. It didn't say that he got his name in the paper. It says that his soul was prospering. He was growing spiritually. He was doing well in the things of God. Maybe his body wasn't as well as his soul, because he prayed or wished for him that he might have as good health physically as he had spiritually. Now, if your body was just as well as your soul, would you be able to hobble around, do you think? He was going on well for God. Then, we're told in verse 3, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. He was living according to the word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth, our Savior prayed in John 17. Thy word is truth. How do you walk in the truth? Why, you simply read what God says and do it. And he gives us the strength to do this. If you're born of God, you have his nature within you, his Holy Spirit to enable you, and you can walk according to his truth, and this man did it. Then he was a man who was very hospitable. He said in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. So he was helping others. He was faithful in his hospitality. Hospitality is almost a lost art among Christians today. This is too bad. Hospitality has become in many circles today just another means for business. Let's have them over. I think I can do some business with him. I think I can get something out of him. And hospitality in the great political centers of the world has just become a battleground. Hospitality was intended originally to be something that we do to show the love of God to others. If you're a Christian, are you using your home for the Lord? Do you know what it is to be hospitable and kind to not only Christians, but strangers? This man did. And then he was loving to all the believers. Verse 6 says, which have borne witness of thy charity or love. This is not charity in the sense of giving your old clothes to a rummage sale. Charity in the Bible is the love of God shown to others. They have borne witness of thy charity before the church. It's wonderful when one of God's children is loving to the rest of his fellow Christians. And this is exactly what God intended. Now, if you're not a Christian, you couldn't do any of these things that I've talked about here. You don't know what it is to know the Lord as your own Savior, so how could you possibly live to please Him? You haven't even received eternal life, so how could your soul prosper? You need to be born again. You're dead in trespasses and sins. And unless you come to Christ, there'll never be any prosperity in your soul. Your soul is lost and will be lost for all eternity if you reject Christ. You couldn't walk in the truth. You don't even know the truth. But if you would receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you could grow. It'll take a while, but you could grow to become like this man, Gaius. Now, there's some other people mentioned here. These people are called brethren and strangers. I think they were strangers in the sense of not living in the same town, but they were all brethren. And these brethren came to Gaius, and Gaius brought them forward on their journey after a godly sort. That is, in a way that was worthy of God. He gave them what they needed. He made them at home in his own home, and perhaps gave them something to help them on their journey as they went on. Now, he said, if you do this, you'll do well, because that for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Who are these preaching brethren? Well, they're men who are preaching the truth, because he says we therefore ought to be received such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. They are helpers of the truth. We can be fellow helpers. This is the test for a preacher. Is he preaching the truth? If he isn't preaching the truth, 2 John says don't even receive him into your house. If he is preaching the truth, you ought to be his fellow helper and do everything that you can to aid him to go on in his work for the Lord. Now notice that for the namesake of Christ, these men went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. They were not doing it as a job. They were not doing it for fame. In fact, most Christians who went out preaching the word in the first century lost their lives eventually. And these men went for his name's sake. They loved the name of Christ. They loved the Lord Jesus. They had accepted him as their Savior, and they believed in him, and they loved him, and they wanted to honor him. And they took nothing from the Gentiles. It is not God's plan that the work of the Lord be supported by unconverted people. That's why we never ask for any money on this program. We're doing this for the Lord's sake, and the bills are paid by Christians, and we ask for nothing from unsaved people. They took nothing from the Gentiles, from those who were not saved. If you're not saved, you can't do anything for God. God doesn't want your money. Some churches do, but God doesn't want your money. God wants you to take His gift, and until you accept God's gift, God is not ready to receive your gift. Now, of course, the way that these people could go forth taking nothing of the Gentiles was because the Christians themselves were helping them. And that's why he says we ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Now, unfortunately, they were not all like this. Verse 9 tells us about a man named Diotrephes who wanted the preeminence among the Christians. This word only occurs here and in Colossians 1:18, where it says that in all things he, Christ, might have the preeminence. This false brother, this man who pretended to be a Christian, was robbing the Lord Jesus of his place. And not only so, but he was lying against the Christians, and then he was casting some out, excommunicating some, mistreating some of God's dear children. In contrast to this, you have the good man Demetrius in verse 12, who had a good report of all men and of the truth itself. That is, God himself, through his word, testified that this man's life was right. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. So Demetrius is the right kind of a man. Diotrephes is the wrong kind of a man. If you're a child of God, imitate Demetrius. Be like Gaius, and be like the Apostle John, and others who followed Christ. Don't be like Diotrephes, seeking a place for yourself and mistreating God's children. Now this is the way that God intends for his children to walk, and this is the way we will walk if we follow the two injunctions given in John's epistles. love for one another, and obedience to the Word of God. God is love, God is light. His children should be loving, and they should be obedient and right in all their ways. And this ends, as the second epistle ended, with a nice little personal word. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. And this, I suggest again, is in anticipation of that wonderful day when the Lord is going to come back and all of God's children will be face to face. Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When in rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. And then face to face with our loved ones and face to face with all the Christians. And so, as he leaves this man, he says, peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Twice, friends, friends. He learned this from Christ himself. In the 15th of John, the Lord said to John and the rest of the apostles, you are my friends. I'm not calling you servants now. I'm calling you my friends. How wonderful it is to be friends of the Lord, to have him as a friend, and to be friends to his people. Our Father, we thank thee for this new relationship we have through thy Son. We ask now that thou bless thy word to us. Again, we pray for the salvation of the lost and the care of thy children in Jesus' name. Amen.